There was no cover-up of the shooting dead of 10 people in Ballymurphy. That's the claim made by the former head of the army, General Sir Mike Jackson, speaking at the inquest into the shootings, called it a preposterous accusation. There was laughter from the public gallery when the former army chief said, "We don't do conspiracies." General Jackson was being questioned about why soldiers involved in the shootings were not interviewed by the Royal Military Police at the time. Well, the Irish News security correspondent Alison Morris has been following the inquest. Morning, Alison.
Good morning.
What do you make of General Sir Mike Jackson's response?
It was always going to be a big day when he gave evidence, and I think for the families it was quite an emotional day yesterday. We know when he said that he more than likely was the person who briefed the press at the time, who said the two of the victims were gunmen. He said yesterday he should have possibly said alleged gunmen. For the families of those two victims, that caused all sorts of hurt. One of the daughters said outside that her mother received hate mail from her father's former work colleagues after that because they assumed he'd been an IRA man. But I think, more importantly, this inquest, what it's shown is if you wait such a long time to give people any kind of proper investigation, it's always going to be not just traumatic but also very difficult to get people pinned down to the truth, because at this point in time we're relying on people talking about events that happened so long ago, and what we've seen from every witness who's given evidence so far, that most of those people, especially the soldiers, have all give very conflicting and very different stories. So as time goes on, people put their own spin on these things, and it's becoming more and more difficult, I think, for the families to listen to. General who gave evidence yesterday was the highest ranking soldier in the British Army. At one stage, he became someone who became very synonymous with the Ballymurphy massacre just because of the role he was in at that time. I think that he could have possibly went further and maybe just apologised, which would have made the families feel better. He did say it was regrettable, but he didn't go as far as to say that he was sorry for the actions of the soldiers.
And why would that make a difference?
Do you know, at this point in time, I think most of those families have come to the conclusion that they're not going to get judicial justice and that this is their last chance to get some sort of truth and reconciliation. And for a lot of them, and we see that after Bloody Sunday, you know, when David Cameron apologised, for a lot of them it's just recognition. And recognition of wrongdoing, recognition that not just was there wrongdoing on the day, but afterwards and the dealings with it and the briefings to the media and all the things that happened in the aftermath of it. There was no proper investigation. That was confirmed yesterday. Even in a lot of those cases that were re-examined at this time, it's because the Royal Military Police investigated themselves. That didn't even happen in this case. So, I mean, I think for a lot of them, a lot of those families, and there's never one view, by the way, everyone will have a different view on how it should be handled. But for a lot of them, I think it's just recognition that there was wrongdoing done that caused a sort of domino and a knock-on effect that has followed them through the rest of their lives. And maybe an apology would have went some way to try and heal that.
And what evidence has been heard so far, Alison, that has stuck out for you?
It's been very conflicting, but I mean, some of the soldiers' evidence, and we know that we have heard evidence of extreme wrongdoing in some cases in the behaviour of paratroopers who were at one stage running lotteries and all sorts of things. We were hearing about how many people that they had shot while they were there. But I think, I mean, we're down the latter stages of it. If you go right back to the beginning of the inquest, I think at the beginning when the families just spoke about their loved ones and who they were and you know, and how much they'd been missed and what effect this had on them, was a harrowing few days of evidence. My colleague Bimpy Archer's been sitting through a lot of the inquest, and I know she's been deeply affected by it. What we don't know is what the findings are going to be, and we'll have to remember this isn't an inquiry, this isn't the Bloody Sunday inquiry, this is just an inquest, and the coroner can only make a verdict on the terms of that. You know, this isn't a court case, this isn't, you know, any of those things. It is just an inquest.
Will it be enough for the families? Will they want prosecutions?
It would depend on the inquest findings. If the inquest has thrown up evidence that has specifically identified a specific soldier, but as we know, when we deal with these things in the past, the test for prosecution in these cases is so high, so it has to meet. The PPS have to say that there's enough evidence that could give a reasonable prospect of a prosecution beyond reasonable doubt. That's very difficult to find in any shape or form after so long length of time. And then there's a public interest test. I'm assuming it would make the public interest test. I'm not sure that we would not manage to make the evidential test. I don't think that all of the families are going to feel satisfied at the end of this inquest. But I hope that some of them do get some comfort from at least finding out that their loved ones are being exonerated from the sort of blackening of their names that took place in those early days.
And is the inquest going the way the families thought it would? Is it giving them any comfort?
I don't know if it's ever going to go the way they thought it would. I know that I've spoke to some of them and I was on your show last week with Sean Taggart and you could see that they're exhausted. I mean, they're mentally and physically exhausted. The day after I appeared on your TV show, I actually met a girl in a supermarket who was one of the families and she said the same thing, that, you know, she's at this point in time, you know, they just feel so drained by the whole process. I think that we as journalists underestimate the impact that this can have on people and having to listen to the evidence, some of which is very graphic and harrowing day in, day out. I'm not sure, some of it might be completely traumatised, and I don't think it's at the end of it they're all going to feel that they got what they wanted out of it, but I do hope that what it will do is it will put on record a version of events that we can then look back on, and it will be more historically accurate than the version of events we have now.
Some of the evidence has been deeply shocking. For example, one of the soldiers' testimony saying that someone's skull was being used as an ashtray. Now, that was then disputed by another soldier. But my goodness, like, it's just grotesque, the accusation alone.
And it's you can see that with those soldiers, I mean, that some of them are telling very different versions of events than the official version of events. I mean, we covered that story in the Irish News, and I actually covered the story of our killing on several occasions throughout my career. That was a guy from South Armagh who was up doing a day's work and his van backfired and he was shot dead by a soldier in the Springfield Road. And the issue with those cases is that they're all unresolved. I mean, this is the problem that we talk about many times, Stephen, we talked about this in your show. The problem with legacy is it just remains a big open wound that is completely unresolved, that no one has had the bravery to take on. This should have been part of the Good Friday Agreement. All these legacy mechanisms should have been implemented then. We'd be 20 years on now, we'd be in a much better place, both in terms of community relations and how we move on and how we've dealt with victims. Instead, we're still bickering about this. And the fact that the Ballymurphy families, in some ways, and it's down to their campaigning, they have an inquest, you know, to go to every day.
Yeah, but I guess
there
one of the
so
points...
There are so many families who don't have anything.
Yeah, but do these inquests keep wounds open? Do they actually help?
And all I can say that the Ballymurphy families are going to get from this inquest at the end of it is that they will have a proper official narrative that will show that the like of, you know, their loved ones, their mother, their fathers, you know, the priest that was killed on this occasion, that all those people will be, you know, get some sort of exoneration from the fact that we heard what General Mick Jackson had said, that he was the person who briefed the Belfast Telegraph when they did that story and the immediate aftermath of that, and that caused hurt to those families. So we changed the narrative, but... Listen, I'm of the opinion that we all need to be very careful what we're doing here, because I'm in danger of re-traumatising people in my work. I think that the constant litigation is in danger of re-traumatising people by going on and on and on. And I think that, you know, we're at the minute, we've been told yesterday that the talks process is looking a lot more positive. Well, if there's one thing that should come from that, I think one of the first order of business should be deal with the victims of historic abuse, deal with the legacy mechanisms. If we can get that out of the way, I think we can move forward into a much better and more peaceful society.
Alison, thank you very much indeed. Morning to you.